This is Mark Blaker. This is the 10 Radio Hustings, and this is the second of our interviews with the candidates in the Upper Tone Ward tonight on Thursday. And tonight we've got we're joined by Labour Party candidate Ben Elkins.
Good evening. Thanks much for inviting me onto the radio.
Well, you're very welcome, Ben. And just to give you a bit of background, we've already spoken to UKIP candidate on Monday. Pauline's just spoken to the Conservative, James Hunt. 11:30 tomorrow, we will be in the morning. We'll be talking to Steve Ross, the Independent candidate, and unfortunately, the Lib Dem candidates declined to take part. Doesn't seem to be showing up anywhere in the election, which is a shame because we'd like to have spoken to her. All these interviews will be repeated next week at 9:30 in the morning, and 9:30 on Monday and Tuesday. So, hello and welcome, Ben.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing me on.
Well, just tell us a little bit about yourself. What are your values?
Okay, so I've obviously lived in Wiverliscombe for 10 years. I'm a teacher at the local secondary school, so I've taught a lot of children in this area over the last 10 years. And my background really is rooted in socialism, I suppose. My dad was a local councillor in Worcester. It's been part of my bloodstream since I was a kid, really.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm coming from politically. That's where I've always had my heart, and I wanted to give people in the area of Upper Tone the opportunity to vote Labour instead of not having that choice.
When you talk in terms of socialism, you use the socialism word.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's about social justice. I believe that we should have a society that's fair and has an equal opportunity for all people. I believe that at the moment we're living in perhaps the start of a time when things are going back to a very divided society, where the government in particular, I know this is a local election, but the national picture is that they're looking after the rich at the expense of the poor, and we're having a much more divided society, rather like the one that I grew up in, rather like Thatcher's Britain that I grew up in. And I'm very worried about that. Even in rural Somerset, we have got a rural poor here that I believe don't often have people standing up for them. And I'm seeing more evidence of that, even in my own job. I'm seeing difficulties happening, particularly with some of the pupils. For the first time, really, since I've been living here, just getting quite worried about their future. If you ask them about their future, they're getting concerned about getting a job, getting on. They can see that perhaps the country is not going to offer them what it might have done in the past, only 10 years ago.
You're standing in rural Somerset. It's a county with two Labour councillors on the county council out of a population of something over 50.
Yes.
And you haven't got a cat's chance in hell, have you?
Well, I think it's very important to make a start, and it might be a small start, but it's important to make a stand, and for it not to be a dirty word here, Labour, for the Labour Party not to be a dirty word, people can say that they're voting Labour and be proud of it, and put the placard outside their house and be pleased that there's somebody standing for their views and what they believe in. So, it might be a small start, but I don't think there's going to be many elections maybe in the future where there won't be a Labour candidate. I think it's part of the furniture for a while. I certainly know that there's a lot more Labour activists in Somerset than there have been for a long time.
And what do you see over the last 5 years of the previous administration's term that you find frustrating, or you upsets you, makes you angry? What was it you don't like?
I don't believe you can leave out the national picture. I think the national picture matters since the coalition government have been in, and their policy of getting down the deficit and driving down the deficit at all costs is reflected in what you see in Somerset. So in Somerset, they have cut with relish, I think, because it's part of Tory ideology to do that. They've really enjoyed doing it, I think. It looks like it, because I know that there are very vulnerable people in our communities that have suffered because they're just interested in maintaining the level of council tax, maintaining that and using that as a political weapon that they can use to say that they haven't raised it. And also, I believe that they're so drawn in on trying to cut the deficit that they, at the expense of actually providing services for all people and looking after us. So that's what I'm frustrated with in particular. I mean, there are some specifics, if you'd like me to go into those specifics.
Very briefly.
So they're cutting preventative services, really. So it's really reactive rather than proactive, and that causes problems with the highways. For example, they spent a lot more money repairing potholes, but they haven't put the money into preventing them from happening. And with all this rain that we've had in the last year, we've had a lot more flooding, which has caused more potholes, so people have had to fill them, and it's actually cost more money in the end. And youth workers and family support workers have been cut, and we're going to need probably more social workers dealing with more difficult problems, which will cause more which will cost more in the long run. So we're actually paying for the price of failure here. They're spending money on consultants rather than investing in local services.
Well, you've given us a few examples, and you're talking as if there's clear blue water between the political parties. But over the last couple of decades, national parties seem to emerge into one. The Labour Party has even adopted the One Nation mantra of Disraeli, who was a Tory Prime Minister. There's a consensus that the only way out of the difficulties we currently face is to continue along the same, what many people believe to be, a discredited path, and people are bound to be disillusioned with a whole lot of them. And are you guilty of driving people to vote negatively and support extreme parties, or indeed are you guilty as a party of causing people to disengage from the electoral process in entirety?
Didn't quite understand the full question. I think there were several parts of your question.
Are several parts, but it's all about the fact that you are basically one mantra, aren't you? There isn't really a great deal of difference now between the Labour Party and the Liberal Democrats and the...
I believe that it's forming. I mean, the Labour Party are at the moment trying to work out where they're going to be in the next election, and I do believe that there are some other new ideas, particularly on benefits, for example.
But you're standing here on the eve of an election without knowing where you want to go. Is that
what
you're saying?
Well, no. The national picture is who's going to be able to say exactly what they're going to be able to do in 2 years' time? I don't know any government that's been able to say exactly what they're going to be able to do in 2 years' time nationally, and so that's pretty normal that they're still working out their policies in detail for an election that's going to take place in 2015. But I don't necessarily think that in 2 years' time, to answer your question, I don't think that there will be. I don't think it all will be the same way.
But right now, you know, you've seen, for good or ill, a rise in support for parties like UKIP, who seem to be promoting a very, very simple mantra that people do seem to be voting negatively.
Well, it's a difficult message to put across that the Labour Party's got. The message isn't as simple as what the Tories say, that we've got to cut the deficit. It's like your household budget, and you couldn't have such a massive credit card, and you've got to get rid of that first. Keynesian economics doesn't say that. It's a complex picture, and you have to go at it a bit slower, actually. We needed to not have cut so quickly at the start, do it a bit slower, and then cut it a bit later. Now, that's quite a complex picture to put across to the electorate. It's difficult to put that across. I completely accept that. But it is the right way, and I think it's being proved by the economic news that we're getting today, that we're still flatlining as an economy. We're not really growing at all. So that's a difficult message. UKIP, I agree, their message is completely simplistic, not very sensible, in fact really downright dodgy in my opinion. I'll go on to that in a minute, in terms of what they're saying about immigration. Completely disagree with that, but their message is incredibly simple, and yes, people are disengaged by politics, and they'll go with a simple message. Well, just to deal with that UKIP issue, if that's okay, because I think I put it across in perhaps the wrong way, but they've got a slogan that we want our country back. I was in the square last Saturday and walked past, in fact, the gentleman, Chris, I can't remember his surname now, didn't know who I was and handed me a leaflet. And I think he's misjudged our community here. I think we're a very welcoming community, and we're not really like that. I work with various Polish people at school who are cleaning my room, for example, and they contribute incredibly to our economy. So I think that's incredibly short-sighted and not really understanding this local area. So I think that's a real problem. And I'm standing, part of the reason I'm standing is to counter that sort of dangerous nonsense, and to be able to say that right-wing extreme view about immigration is wrong. I believe in multiculturalism. It's part of my whole reason for being. I'm an RE teacher. I deal with ignorance on a weekly basis at school in terms of different people's cultures. And, you know, it's a difficult thing, but multiculturalism it brings its difficulties. I grew up in a multicultural area of, believe it or not, Worcester, and there were difficulties, but you work harder at it. that's what you have to do.
Okay. The Labour Party manifesto was a little bit difficult to find, to track down for the elections. But when you got there's a lot of nice words in there, a lot of nice sentiments, things about ensuring value for money and being nice to people.
Yep.
But in terms of actual policy,
so there are some specifics.
There wasn't much there.
There are some specifics there, of course.
Only a couple.
So protecting the wages of agricultural workers by retention of the Agricultural Wages Board, that's one thing.
Well, we're talking about the local
of course,
manifesto.
So local manifesto in particular, there's a guarantee of no library closures. And I know that Steve's worked very hard. Steve Ross, the independent candidate, local candidate here, has worked very hard to keep the library here open in Wiveliscombe. And I know that Labour members in Taunton have done as well. So they've been very committed to keep the libraries open. So there's a guarantee that there'll be no library closures in 2013-14. That's a very specific guarantee. And they'd seek to keep all 34 libraries open in the future after that. So that's very specific. Affordable homes for ordinary people is another one. And particularly trying to invest more, in particular, with skills and training in Somerset for the young people so that they can get jobs if the economy ever gets off the ground here, as it should do in the country if we had the right people running it in the right way. So there are some specifics there. But the principles behind it are principles of fairness and equality of opportunity for all. And that's where you've got to start, with decent principles.
And when you talk in terms of libraries and that kind of arts and libraries,
what's
the value of that for local communities, from your mind?
Well, not just locally, nationally, the arts provide massive employment for the country. They bring in an awful lot of investment into the country. It's good for our economy. I think in the last age of austerity, I think it might have even been Churchill, said that you don't cut the arts. You know, they're part of our national heritage. They're part of our local heritage as Somerset. I'm particularly massively impressed by the library in Taunton. I think it's an incredible place. And the amount of work that's gone into that has been brilliant. And it's part of our national and local cultural identity. Very important to sustain and keep going.
So what do you think when you see something like the Brewhouse closing?
I was really shocked. I mean, I can't say that I went very often. I did go from time to time. I probably didn't go as much as I wanted to. And when it was gone, I was shocked and thought, well, I probably should have gone more often than I did. But I was incredibly shocked by that. And I know Steve Ross has worked very hard, along with our other independent district councillor, Eddie Gaines, to get something off the ground with that. And I fully support that. I think that's really good work. Obviously, it's not a going concern. I don't think anybody's going to come and buy it. So I think it has to have a creative community involvement to keep it going. But that's very important. But that's what we're good at here. And we're good at that here in Ten Radio and Wiveliscombe, with communities getting involved. And it's about galvanising the right people to do those sort of things.
So looking at these ambitions that you have for your community and for society, and thinking ahead, here's another long question for you coming up. So, and there's been a great deal of reflection about the legacy of Margaret Thatcher in recent weeks, and by extension, the polar opposite administration, which was 1945 Labour government. And traditional Labour voters will think of the party that created the NHS, the party that gave millions of people decent homes, the party that made sense of the National Rail Network. That seems to have gone. And David Cameron, was he right when he said we're all Thatcherites now? Or
I couldn't believe what I heard.
The social ambition again?
I think it might take some time, because I think what we're actually witnessing here is that the world's changing very rapidly. We're living in such a globalised economy. The world's changing very rapidly. But I think what the Tories are doing, particularly in education, is really very worrying. You know, I just can't understand what's happening, really. I'm a teacher, and the things that Michael Gove comes up with, I don't fully understand. They seem to contradict each other all the time. But one of the things they're doing is promoting fact-based learning at the expense of deep learning. That really worries me, as if we're trying to compete with China in some way. We're not going to be able to do that. You know, we're a very different culture. So we can't work globally like that. There's not going to be some way that we can be some offshore low-tax haven for some halcyon old English way that we're going to somehow compete with the Far East. That's not going to happen. So I think we're probably seeing the last hurrah of the right trying to hold on to what they've grasped hold of for the last 30 years. So I actually think, you did see the death of Margaret Thatcher and everything that went around that, and obviously she polarised views. but I actually think that it's going to be the slow death of those ideas. I believe that the future is a future where we come together as people, where we strengthen the bonds that bring us together, not weaken them. And that time will have its day. My dad, I always remember what my dad said about this, and he said, nothing lasts forever. Nothing lasts forever. Things will eventually turn round, and I believe that that spirit of 1945 will come back again. I really believe that. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be calling myself a socialist. So.
Okay, and we've got a question from the member of the public.
Yep.
So I'm just going to hand over to Paul to read that out for us.
Thank you, Mark. It's more a statement. It's from a guy called John in Withy, and he says, "Hello, Ten Radio. I, for one, am glad that Mr. Elkins has given me a chance to vote Labour. For me, the argument is simple. The argument is simple. Labour are for the ordinary working person. The Tories are for the rich. The Independents won't declare where they really stand. The Lib Dems, they're just useless. So, being an ordinary person who believes in equality, I should be voting for Ben and Labour. I must stress that these aren't the views of Ten Radio. This is the views of one of our listeners, John in Wiverliscombe. And if anybody would like to ring in to or text or email a question to Mr. Elkins, please go ahead. Thank you, Mark."
Okay, and the address to email is studio@tenradio.org, or you can go to our website, tenradio.org, and there's a little box on there where you can fill in comments, and we will pick them up straight away.
I mean, going back, I've lived here for 10 years. I don't think it'd be hard to get rid of me from this community, because I love living here so much. I truly believe that. I'm not making that up just because I'm in the election. I really like it here. And I think this is a special community, and I think there are those bonds that bring people together, regardless of political parties. You know, I don't talk about politics usually with most people. I play cricket in the cricket club. I'm obviously a school teacher where I don't talk about politics. I cycle around and I speak to people. And I think it is a special community. And I think those are the things that we need to build upon and build on to bring back that spirit that was around after the war when we were rebuilding the country. And I think there are good examples of that. We're sitting here in Ten Radio, community involvement, obviously. The community kitchen, I think, is amazing. And the community herb garden outside, been involved with that a little bit. And those are the things that really make our community, not the sort of strange idea of
But thinking in terms of that community dynamic, probably the most divisive issue that's going to face this community in months and weeks even to come is the pending badger cull. And in opinions on that on both sides are very entrenched, and the stakes for both sides are very high, both sides of the argument. What could you do as a councillor to ensure that kind of initiative will not completely undermine the division, the constituency?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. The divisions are clearly there on both sides. It's one of those Marmite issues that people fall one side or the other on. I went to Buddhist temple in Bristol actually with work with a parent of somebody at school who's a farmer up on Exmoor who's had real trouble with bovine TB, and it's really devastating for them. It's really difficult for the farming community. I completely understand that, and it's very frustrating. My brother-in-law's a farmer in Worcestershire, and he's explained it to me from the farming point of view. But I think what you've got to do in these situations is get the science right. If you get the facts right, if you get the science perfectly right and deal with that independently, get that independent advice, then that's what we need to do. One of the things I've read about is that if we do have a major cull of badgers, it can actually spread the problem further afield, because badgers move into new areas when shooting's happening. And the other thing is, if you've actually trapped a badger to shoot it, why not actually develop a vaccine and vaccinate it? Maybe it's not as simple as that, but I would look to the scientists first. And I'm not entirely sure that the science that we've got at the moment is completely independent advice. That's, I think it's there to prove something that people thought in the first place because they wanted a particular scenario to happen. So I think if everybody's agreed on the science, then that's the way forward.
But for good or ill, and perhaps in contradiction of some of the science, it seems like this is going to happen anyway. And it's going to open wounds, it's going to create wounds.
Yeah.
How can you help?
Well, it's very difficult. I wouldn't go ahead with a cull, as I said already. I think it shouldn't be happening. It's very difficult when you've got that situation. We're going to have to try and bring sides together to try and understand each other, I suppose. I believe that when you've got those divisions, you need to get people talking to each other. That's what helps. Talking and dialogue will help.
Okay, another question from the audience.
It seems that you've got some supporters out there, Mr. Elkins. We've had another email from Sue, who is a local girl. She said, this is not a question, but more of a comment on the interviews I've heard so far. Well done, Ben. You've come out with more sense and reasonableness than anyone else so far.
Nice to hear.
There's another 10 minutes yet, Sue, so don't get ahead of yourself.
No.
There is a real issue with declining funds particularly from central government for local authorities. Things aren't going to get better in the foreseeable future. How will Labour maintain services which such stringent pressures?
Okay, this is a difficult environment that we're in. I wish we weren't in it, because I don't believe that the country's being run well in the first place. I don't think we should be cutting and having this austerity drive almost like we're supposed to feel bad about the terrible financial crisis that happened as if it's our fault. I don't believe it is. I believe it's the fault of unfettered and greedy capitalism. So I don't believe that it's of our making, but we are in this difficult environment, like you say. And it's in those situations that people will say, well, what are you going to cut? What are you going to decide to keep, and what are you not going to decide to keep? I think one of the most important things is to always keep your principles right, that you need to look after the most vulnerable people in society in particular. I don't think that we can guarantee that we keep the council tax rate the same rate, so that might have to increase, because we need to look after those vulnerable people in society, the people that we should be caring for. That's a priority for Labour. And the other thing is, I think that you can do creative things within the community, like what's happened with the youth service here in Wiveliscombe, for example. It's not perfect, but community involvement can get things going. There can be, so I don't want to say Cameron's Big Society, because that was a lot of nonsense, really, but there is a kernel of truth in there, that there's something that the community can do to get that going. It means that you need to talk to the community and get the right people from the community who've got amazing skills. There are incredible people here in this area that have got skills lying dormant, and you need to sort of get that going, really. So it's not a question of what would you cut. I think it's getting the principles right of what you're going to do, look after the right people, and they're not the rich.
It is a challenging situation, because I mean, if you look at what's happened with Big Society, there may be an argument that says what's actually happened with that is it being used as an excuse to dump statutory requirements.
But there is a kernel of truth in there. It's somewhere in there. There's a kernel of truth, actually. I hate to say it.
The principle of community
involvement, that you can get other people doing things. There is a kernel of truth in there that can be built on. But like you say, I think it was actually put in place for as a sticking plaster over all of the cuts that were happening. So that's my worry about that.
So it's not quite worked yet, but you've got a view that you could make it work.
I believe that you can get the right people in the community to try and help with those sorts of things. But the principle should be that you're looking after the most vulnerable people in society, children's services in particular, youth services. Those are the people, they're our future. We need to be making sure that they're safe, secure, happy, and got a future in our county.
Okay. And one of the few things I must say, it is one of the few things in your specifics in your council election manifesto, is that you procure locally.
Yes.
See that as a good initiative, then?
I guess so. I think that is sensible, to try and keep things. I think there's another thing as well that I read, that trying to keep in-house services as well, to try and make sure that and invest in that. Actually, I think people who are working, if you like, for the state. I don't anymore. Incidentally, I work for a private school, so I'm one of those thousands of so-called new private jobs in the private sector. My job's not a new job at all, by the way. I'm doing exactly the same job I was doing before, but I count as one of those thousands that the Tories talk about as being a new job in the private sector. But so yes, I think that when people work for the state, they've got a pride in what they're doing, and there's an army of people that work for Somerset County Council that I believe, if they've got that pride within them, Sorry, I'm a bit distracted by what's going on outside.
There's commotion going on outside.
I believe that they'd work harder. There was the other question as well, so I've just forgotten the last bit of what you said.
I was asking you about developing basically procuring local.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense because it'll develop the local economy.
Okay,
I want to say, have we got time?
We've got time. Let me ask you one quick question, then I'll have your final statement. Summing up very briefly.
Yep.
What would you say is, because we've got the bantering boys are gathering
bantering outside
they're,
almost,
they're ready
yeah.
to banter, and they're warming up with good bantering already. But what's the biggest danger that faces Somerset with the result of this election? What's the worst that could happen?
I think that there is a danger that UKIP are going to do well, I'll be honest. I think that I'm worried about that because I think they're masquerading as some sensible party and they're far-right extremists as far as I can see. I mean, they're not quite as bad as the British National Party, but they're close to that. I really do believe that, and so I'm worried about that for the whole of Somerset. I think there are possibly some areas where they might do well because of a protest vote, because let's face it, most people aren't interested in politicians. I'm not a politician myself, but they've not covered themselves in glory, and that is a worry, I think. But I do believe that we need a change. I do believe that we need a shake-up in Somerset because...
Well, let's just cap off now, Ben, as always with these things, the last word should be with you. Why should people turn out and vote for you on May the 2nd?
OK, for the main thing is that people have got the chance to stand up, be proud and vote Labour. If they're a Labour supporter, they've now got a man on the ticket that they can vote for. So that's the most important thing. I've not been able to send out glossy leaflets, not many anyway, or make a big sound and fury because I'm a local school teacher. I'm not an expert on politics. I'm really not. I'm an RE teacher. But I'm the Labour candidate, and I'll offer people a genuine choice. People don't have to tactically vote anymore. They can stand up and say, yeah, I'm proud to vote Labour. I do want to say something about Steve Ross.
1 minute.
The other very local candidate like myself. I've got a lot of time for Steve personally, and that's why I supported him in his campaign in the district elections. I respect his depth of understanding and his involvement in local key issues. However, I believe he's got the same Labour principles as me, and perhaps, I don't know whether you're interviewing him tomorrow, but maybe he could be asked why he, if he could stand as the Labour candidate, I would support him.
Send that question in studio at 10 Radio.
Yes.
And we will ask Barry, when Barry Alloway will be interviewing Steve Ross tomorrow at 11:30 in the morning. Right now, thank you very much to Ben Elkins, Labour candidate, for coming in. And we hand over now with a bit of music to the bantering boys themselves, the three most handsome men on 10 Radio.
10 Radio. Uzumna